Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is February 17th, Ash Wednesday. The first reading tonight is from Isaiah chapter 64. From ages past, no one has heard, no eye has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. And the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may get praised from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they will get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that is the only reward they will get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think by saying many words, they will be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so that people will know they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, during the season of Lent this year, as you might have heard, we are walking through the Lord's Prayer. And this season is traditionally a time for more intentional prayer along with fasting and giving. So it's a good time for us to slow down and to dig into this great example of prayer that Jesus gives us. One of the gifts of the Lord's Prayer is its familiarity. There's a reason we pray these words together almost every time that we gather for worship. More than once, I've had the privilege of being at the bedside of someone who's dying at the end of their life, and they're at a point where they're no longer able to speak, to articulate words. They're just a few hours or days before death, before the end of their earthly life. And even though they can't say anything or sometimes even open their eyes or react to much of anything going on around them, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, they've been able to mouth those familiar words along with me and their family. And it's really an amazing thing to know that at the end of their life, sometimes even as their last words, someone is praying these words Jesus taught us. It's a beautiful thing. Of course, that familiarity with the Lord's Prayer can also be challenging. These words are so familiar that it's easy, I think, to say them without giving any thought to what we're actually praying. So I picked a less familiar translation to read to you tonight, hoping it would sound just a little bit off to you. Another challenge to the Lord's Prayer is that I truly do not think Jesus intended this to be the only prayer that we pray. He gave his disciples an example of prayer, not a word-for-word formula. The Lord's Prayer is meant to be a foundation for our prayers. So my hope is that during this season of Lent, during these midweek Lenten services, we can think about what we're saying when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We can be inspired to value this gift that we've been given, the gift of being able to talk with God and intentionally spend time with God. My hope is that we will grow as people of prayer, so that everything we do as a church congregation and as individual Christians might be grounded more and more in a prayerful relationship with God. So, tonight we're looking at the first lines of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is about establishing who we're talking to, who God is. And there's a great tension just in that first phrase, our Father who is in heaven. The in heaven part makes sense, I think. God is the creator of the universe. It goes right with the second line, hallowed be thy name. God is holy. God is set apart from us. That's what holy means. And it fits well with the stark message of Ash Wednesday, which is, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember you are dust, that means remember you are not God. If you ever start questioning whether or not you are God, first of all, that's probably a good time to get professional help, and I'm happy to help you find those resources. But also, remember you are dust. Ground yourself by remembering you are going to die. You are not eternal. Your life will not last forever. Therefore, you are not God. And that's an uncomfortable fact. And so we do our best as people and as a society, certainly, to deny it. Living in the shadow of mortality is hard. Now, we are at risk every day from ordinary mundane things like car crashes and heart attacks and just tripping on the street. But we get through life by ignoring the odds and pretending that we're invincible. We act like we are gods, like the rules of this broken world do not apply to us. And I would have thought that living through a pandemic might change the way that we see death. But at least for me, I don't know that it has. And actually, I think it's amazing how quickly we've adapted, and even this new reality becomes normal. So perhaps this prayer is an opportunity to remember. Perhaps Ash Wednesday is a jolt to jar us into recognizing our mortal reality, our fragile existence, remembering who we are. Remember you are dust means remembering that story in Genesis 2 when God took the dust of the earth and molded it and breathed life into it. It means you and I are part of creation. We are not the creator. God is apart from the world. That's what hallowed means, holy, set apart. God is God, and we are not God. We are dust. We are creatures of dust. But then right in the same line of the prayer, right in the first two words, Jesus tells us how we are to address God. When you pray, he says, pray like this, our Father. Jesus tells us to address God, the Almighty, the eternal creator of all things, as familiarly as we address our parents. You are invited to relate to God as your heavenly Father, your heavenly parent, because you are a child of God. The same ashes that remind us we are dust are traced on Ash Wednesday in the shape of a cross, the sign given to you at baptism, the sign of the cross that marks us, marks you as belonging to Christ, belonging to God. We are set apart as belonging to God, claimed by our Maker, adopted by our Heavenly Father. And that's not a new idea, by the way. In the first lesson, Isaiah says we have all become unclean. All our righteous deeds, the best we can do, is like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf. Our lives are temporary. Our best efforts blow away. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But, Isaiah continues, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. So our prayer is always a prayer of humility, the pot talking to the potter, putting ourselves in the right place compared to God. All that we are depends on God's grace. To parade our faith in front of people, to make a big deal of giving to the poor in order to impress other people and say, look how great we are, that misses the point entirely. The point of Lent and the point of prayer is for us to orient ourselves toward who we are and who God is, to turn towards God with our whole lives. We come to God in humility, and with humble gratitude, we share the love that has been given to us by God. So, beloved of God, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And you are a child of God, a creation of the divine potter who shapes and molds dust and breathes life into it. So as you enter into this season of Lent, into this journey which leads through the cross of Jesus to life and resurrection, remember who you are and remember who God is. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. You are not God, but God, who is eternal, who is holy, who is in heaven, is your heavenly Father, who claims you and calls you child, and God breathes life into dust. Amen.